time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign. And Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign. Online at Jane Addams, that's A-D-D-A-M-S, books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I'm pleased to welcome Gloria Rubel, longtime and much appreciated singer-songwriter who is active in many areas of the Champaign-Urbana music scene. And I'm particularly pleased to have the chance for this conversation in a week that's important to your career, because on February 1st at the Rose Bowl, you will be releasing your record, I Used to Float, from 7 to 9 with the full band performing, Ian Shepherd, Jesse Brown, Jill Greenlee, and Mark White, and Jules Rose will open the show starting at 7 p.m. So you are at a rich moment of a full career in music, and I sense that the release of this record is an important moment for you. I know it was years in the making. So what would you like us to know about your journey in music from your earliest times and growing as a musician, both in this community and the wider scene, and now the release of I Used to Float?
Well, thank you, Cope. That's a broad question, but...
we have time.
It's definitely an important time right now. The record was released already on December 5th, but in order to get the people that I wanted for this show, there was just no way that I was going to be able to make it happen, get rehearsals in and everything, get the venue locked in and all the things for a couple months after that release. So this is just how it worked out. So it's slightly anticlimactic for me because I've already been released and I've publicized it as much as I can. This will be the first full band show that I've done in a really long time, in years actually, because I've only been playing solo gigs for the last few years. And then before that, had a couple of different music partners and just played duo gigs for about 10 years total. And my music career came out of what many people experienced, which was like piano lessons as a kid. And then also being exposed to a lot of music in my house with my dad being an ethnomusicologist, hearing music from different cultures, a lot of Middle Eastern music, but also a lot of and other music from other cultures, Indian, and also a lot of classical music. Then I had my sister, 10 years older than me, listening to the Beatles and the period, 70s. Dated a musician in high school. I snuck into his gigs and everything. And being around that kind of live music scene from a pretty young teen age and wanting to be a part of it. And also then after the piano lessons, I took guitar lessons when I was 12, 13. So I sort of made that switch. Mostly, I took some lessons then, but I'm mostly self-taught as a guitar player. Singing was just something I enjoyed doing. I had an opportunity when I was like 18 or 19 to audition for a cover band. Played in cover bands basically on and off, played at open mics, and then that turned into playing some duo gigs with various people and building some confidence. And it really, I actually wasn't until I was in my 30s that I started writing music. But when I did, it sort of, I had a kind of a prolific period where I wrote a lot and then decided to record those songs. So there's like a 9-song record with my husband, Peter, and I played a lot of acoustic duo gigs, and we recorded that with Andy Lund, who used to be in town and owned Rosewood Guitar Store, used to be here, but also he had a studio in the store, the back of the store, and we recorded there. And various people from the community that I still actually, Ian Shepherd, he was in my band that came about later, and then I was in the Brat Pack with him and with Jesse. Actually, Jesse played on that one too. So I mean, it's just interesting to look at like the people who I've performed with and worked on music with. It's really fun to me that it ended up at this point, many years later, that I have some of those same people with me who worked on the CD with me and then who are also playing on this live show. The Peter and Gloria CD was that first record. And then we started playing with the full band, Ian on drums, Andy Lund on guitar, and Peter on bass, and me on acoustic and singing. And we called it G Lee and Jet Blonde, which was my nickname for a lot of people has been G, and my middle name is Lee. So I just kind of came up with that. And then Jet Blonde was kind of a silly joke. It turned into a really good band that we had a few years of playing a lot of shows in town and some St. Louis. And we put out two records, G Lee and Jet Blonde, pretty close together. Hard to even say, you know, 25 years ago. It's just crazy because it feels like yesterday. Then when I played later, after that band started moving away, Andy left, moved away, Ian left, moved away, just fizzled at that point. It's really hard to keep things like that going, at least for me. I took a hiatus for a while, and then I really wanted to find a partner, and I reached out to Paul Sabuco, who I'd known since I was, you know, 21 years old, because just knowing him through other people at that time. But he and used to go out and hear bands he was in a lot, and I knew he wasn't really doing a whole lot, and reached out to him, and we ended up having just Paul and Gloria duo. But we wrote songs together. We recorded a record together called Lime Drop. I'm so happy that we did, because it turns out that he was actually ill. He had colon cancer, but we didn't know at the time we were recording. He was having times where he wasn't feeling great, but we didn't know. We went in and got those songs recorded, had a CD release party, and shortly after that, I think he found out that he had cancer, and he went through treatment, and we still played, but we played together for about 5 years. In terms of original music, it started with more of an acoustic thing with the Peter and Gloria. I mean, some of the songs on that record are full band sound, and some of them are a little more stripped down. And then the G Lee and Jet Blonde stuff is all full band with a lot of production, which I really like. Then the Paul and Gloria CD was definitely more acoustic. It was really just the two voices and us both playing, you know, acoustic guitar. I think Paul played bass on a few songs, and we put drum loops on maybe one of those songs. That was 10 years before I decided, you know, I've got these songs. This might be the last time that I do a project, like a recording project, but I think I want to record some of these, because I had a good 15 songs that had never been recorded. Some of them were fairly new and some were kind of older songs, but I still thought, you know, really be nice to have these almost as a legacy project. So I went and talked to Anthony Gravino at High Cross Sound, who's been a friend and also is a good friend of Ian Shepherd. Ian keeps his drums, a set of drums over there, the studio. And I went and talked with Anthony and thought I could do one song and just talked about details. And I sort of decided on, let's do four. Let's do four. We'll get Ian and Anthony agreed that he would play bass at the same time that he was recording. He could do that, so we didn't have to pay somebody to come in and play bass. We did basic tracks, which basically is drums and bass. Then Anthony also played guitar on a lot of things. We had most of the tracks of those four songs done, and I was already like thinking, I think I want to go ahead and just make this into a full record, 12 songs. So we came back in and did the other 8 remaining songs, and then had other people coming in, Jesse Brown coming in and doing all the keyboard parts. I did some of the recording at home. It's so easy these days if you just have an interface and good mics for singing. And I did a little bit of acoustic, and then Peter played. He played guitar on a few tracks. He played saxophone on one.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it's like coming together with a group of musicians? Who comes up with all the instrumental arrangement? And Anthony Gravino is known for really pushing sound and for working very hard in his recording to do unusual things. What was that process like for you?
Well, it was great to have the input. There's a couple different things that happened, because there were certain songs that I already had demos recorded that I had done years ago on GarageBand, and all the parts were there. The ideas were there. Peter worked with me on some of those. And so those were a little more solid going in, although we didn't do them exactly the same. But then there were some songs that I had never done except for just me singing and playing acoustic guitar. And usually at the beginning anyway, it was Anthony and Ian there. We'd sit down and listen to the demo, say, you know, what do you guys think would be a good rhythm for this, and just the feel of it. Or I'd say, this is kind of the feel that I want. It was challenging sometimes to find the right words to describe the feel that I was looking for. So sometimes we'd try something and it's not really quite it. And there were definitely plenty of times along the way that they came up with one or the other, or both came up with these really great things that I would have never thought of. The song Memory Game, they came up with this sort of a different rhythm on the choruses, the accented beats and things like that, that are very different from anything I would have thought of. Some of the guitar parts that Anthony came up with, and Peter as well. With Anthony, he would tend to work by himself and then send it to me and say, what do you think? And most of the time, it's like, yeah, I like that. You know, I did an arpeggio part here. And it was a really good experience for me to work that way with other people, because it had been a really long time since I'd worked with a group. And this wasn't exactly like working with a band, because it was in a recording situation where not all of us were there at the same time. But there definitely was a lot of communication that led things to where they ended up. With Jesse, he would come in. I would send him the songs ahead of time, send him the demos ahead of time. And he's another just masterful person. Just, these are all great musicians. I'm really, really lucky.
And what is his instrument?
He's a keyboard player. He could just do anything, really. And if I have trouble communicating what I'm looking for, he's really good at, what about something like this? Is this what you're thinking of? And, you know, he's patient with me, and I just like everything he came up with. Are there some things that I would do differently now on that record? Yeah, but you're in the moment, and sometimes you have to make a decision and go with that. And time's ticking away and money's ticking away, and it's always a learning experience. It took 2.5 years from the beginning of when we first started, the first day we went in, to Anthony finishing. He mixed and mastered it as well and handing it off to me. It was 2.5 years. And part of that, there were some breaks. So then it was getting close to being finished, and I'd always thought it'd be really great to have a full band CD release party, and it was uncertain if I'd be able to do it. Anthony was too busy. He's involved in a lot of projects right now and doing some film stuff. Ian and Jesse were in, and then I knew that Jill, she had done some of the harmonies on a few of the tracks and beautifully. And so she also plays bass. I mean, she plays guitar, she plays bass, keyboards, very talented singer. So I was so thrilled that she was free to do this. All the guitar players that I know were busy. I got a recommendation to talk to Mark White, who I had never met, but had heard of him and watched some recordings. And it seemed like he was really good and versatile. And both Ian and Jesse had played with him. And so I said, okay, let's, you know, contacted him. And he said, well, that sounds fun. We only have two rehearsals. One was 2 weeks ago, and one is Sunday.
I want to be sure to cover another very interesting thing you've done in the community of musicians, your project Writers in the Round, and how you work with songwriters and others. This has been a monthly project at the Rose Bowl. What is it that you have done with that over the years?
That started back when the Iron Post was still here, many years ago, actually, around the year 2000, I think. Actually, Donna Nelson had put the first show together like this. It's kind of a Nashville thing where people just take turns and they play on each other's songs if it seems appropriate. Or so the first show was me with Robin Ragland, Brendan Gamble. It turned out she didn't really have time to kind of to keep it going as a regular occurrence. And I thought, well, this could be something fun to try to organize. So I did a monthly show at the Iron Post. And I had a couple of friends who had some contacts with other musicians around this part of the country, but also even somebody came from Florida. I don't think they came all the way here. I think they were maybe touring. And I think that we did it for about 2 years at the Iron Post every month. It started getting a little difficult because that's a lot. Get a hold of the people. I start having people approach me and send me recordings. So at that time, I would every other show I would play, I would be one of the players, and then the next time I would host and play a couple songs at the beginning, but then leave the stage and let the other four people that were booked for that night.
And they would come in and work together and just kind of jam.
It's really more of a just taking turns going around playing a song. This person plays a song, we all listen. And people often talk about their songs, their writing process, what the song is about. There's little conversations get going. And so while one person is playing, the others are listening along with the audience, but sometimes we'll jump in if there seems to be an obvious harmony that you catch on or some little guitar part. I sometimes bring shakers, but it's really more of a an individual. It's like we're there together, but each person is on their own. But oftentimes, especially if a couple of people have played together in the past or just know each other's music, then for example, the last one, which was David Howie and Brandon Washington and Aaron Tedesco, all of them have played on these before, and Brandon and David have played on a number of them over the years. I used to play with David. I know a lot of his songs. I've been a big fan of Brandon's and bands he's been in. So I know some of the parts that I can jump in on and play, or more than play, just sing harmonies with. Aaron had a lot of songs that she would say, okay, this one would be a great one if everybody could just on this part, everybody go, oh, whatever, some line. Some simple line. And her songs, some of them had that built-in almost audience participation component. It's fun when that happens. And if I can ever think of things like that on my songs, I'll say, okay, there's just one part that you can all sing with me when it comes up. And we talk about it on the stage at the time that it's happening. The audience hears what we're saying too. So it's very casual. And every show is different. It isn't monthly. When I started doing these in 2023, I asked if we could do it on a monthly basis, but they didn't want to commit at the Rose Bowl to doing it every month. So it turned out to be about every 2 to 3 months. And that's kind of what it is.
There are a few other questions I really want to ask. You do have a day job. You're a graphic designer, and for many years you've been at the Champaign Public Library shaping how the library presents itself to the public. And you designed the cover for I Used to Float, right? What was that like for you?
It was fun. It started out completely different from what I ended up with. And I was even at that point still, like at the time that I was thinking about design options, I hadn't even really narrowed down what I wanted the title of the CD to be. So they kind of developed together. But it was fun. And I was, at first, I wasn't even going to put a photo of myself on the front. I've done that every time for these other CDs, and it's like, I don't know if I want to, but I did have some photos that Della Perone had taken of me with another music partner that was a shorter-lived project, and I had those photos, and I just cropped that other person out and used. I thought of the title "I Used to Float" because it is the opening lyric to one of the songs. And it kind of has a meaning of like things used to be easier. And I think that as we get older, certain things you just don't feel like it comes as easily, and maybe you have to work harder. So there's the little anecdotal thing that my dog, who I adore, when she jumps up onto the bed, she sort of floats. And so we just call it float up there. So it just stuck, that title stuck. And then I started thinking about the imagery for that being underwater, and used some of the Photoshop tools to have this certain effect where the photo is there. I enjoyed it. I did the lettering is my own drawn letters for the title part. And it's supposed to be a bit mysterious. And
Well,
then
it is.
I just I had to have my dog.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it was super fun. And of course I labored over it, and then just every little decision for weeks, but
Well, of course.
be happy with it.
And there is something I would like to ask you. In the series of interviews I've done with musicians and artists, with your music, there's a lot of organizing, work, planning, logistics, working with other people. What about your own creative life? How do you keep your creative life fresh in your daily life? Do you have any practices, or what nourishes you as an artist?
Experiencing the art of others is one for sure. I'll just stick with music here. I go back and forth with times where I am doing a lot of songwriting, and other times where I feel like it's a very dry period. And just I kind of made the decision. It was actually once the CD was done, it was like the creative space in my head opened up a little bit. And I just decided I'm just going to spend at least an hour every evening or more working on songwriting. Even if I feel like this is crap today, I'm just going to do it. And I think a lot of songwriters would say, and maybe other artists too, you just have to do it. You have to do it and just make that commitment that it doesn't matter. It's the process. And I hear that from a lot of other people too. Doing that and then kind of giving yourself the freedom to either come up with something that you like, or maybe you came up with something that you ended up thinking, well, that's not so great, but it's fine because it's all part of that creative process and letting things kind of flow through you. And sometimes it feels like that to me. Sometimes it feels like it's something that's kind of flowing through and it's coming easily, and then other times it feels forced. I don't have any particular practices of meditating, or I haven't done any meditation for a few years now, actually. But I think for me, it's making that sort of promise to myself to just go into my space, which I do think it's important to have a space that is conducive to creativity. And last summer, I spare bedroom, which has kind of been my catch-all room, which was full of so many things and full of a lot of art projects and way too crowded. I totally redid that room. So it's much more conducive to for me to work on music. And so having the place and making the commitment to just spending the time has been something that's fed my process in some way. And just it feels good. It feels good to do that. So
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Your music, the community, this release, whatever.
I'm really fortunate to be in such a vibrant musical community here, and to have the various people that I share the stage with at Writers in the Round. It's always a pleasure. That helps connected to other songwriters and other musicians. I hope a lot of people will come out on February 1st. It's definitely a celebration, and I'm hoping that it might lead to maybe this group will play more than just that one show. I'll just have to see how everybody feels about that possibility. Everybody's involved in a million things. I'll be doing my solo shows, and I'm writing. I've got about six new songs that I've written since the release of this, since I finished it.
You do have a number of gigs coming up. In March, you're at Sleepy Creek Vineyard, and then Huber's is a, I've heard you play at Huber's a number of times, so that's a great neighborhood venue.
It's a comfortable place. It's one of those places where you go and play, and there's people that are not there to hear you, so it's noisy. It's not a listening room the way that the Rose Bowl tends to be, a little more that way, and of course other places that are definitely more listening rooms, but it's fun. There's a lot of regulars. I play there every other month. They usually schedule it out for the year, which is nice. I'll be at the Rose Bowl again. Don't have a date at this point. I'm looking for some new venues. And as I told somebody in an interview recently, I'm sort of passively looking for maybe a group or a music partner.
Gloria, thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to February 1st. That wraps up our time for this week's Catch the Beat. With my thanks to Gloria Rubel for sharing the story behind the party for her new record, I Used to Float at the Rose Bowl this Sunday, February 1st, from 7 to 9, with the full band performing. And I encourage you to go to her website, GloriaRubelMusic.com. That's Gloria, Roubal, music.com, to read more about what she does and upcoming solo performances. The next on March 20th at Sleepy Creek Vineyards, and then every other month at Huber's. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeadamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. See you next time.